Welcome to the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. The ultimate insider's guide from signing day to the national championship game and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast.
Happy Thursday morning from the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast. I'm Chip Patterson, joined by Tom Fernelli and Barton Simmons. Please review, rate, subscribe, share, tell all of your friends about this show because, guys, the college football season's almost halfway done. It's sad.
That is sad.
Yeah, I didn't really even think about it until you brought it up. Thanks
yeah,
for depressing
why are you
me.
Doing that, Chip?
Well,
let's stay positive here.
Well,
it's going to be like a sad episode of the podcast today.
I'm sitting here staring down. I'm running the math on what I need to do to climb back in the picks competition because while the syndicate has been doing good for the people, it was a good week overall in terms of our locks. The lead is getting out of control right now as it stands. Barton Simmons plus 10 on the season. Hit on Miami. He won the lock fight. But as we discussed earlier, I don't...
that probably had no business being a lock. But I will take the W.
Auburn let Ole Miss kick in the back door. Barton drops one there. Michigan State, the lock unity, smashes. We all locked in at plus 10.5. Of course, they were straight up winners. Barton gets NC State. Barton gets West Virginia. And then Central Florida, unfortunately, because of early cancellation. So you are at plus 3 for the week, plus 10 for the season. Tom, it was a 500 week. Penn State cashed. Michigan State, as we mentioned before. Mizzou at Kentucky. All those daggone points.
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, under 61. And then let us not speak of what Tulane did to Tulsa. That was
brutal. If it happened an hour earlier than it was supposed to, should it even count? That's what I'm wondering.
Is that like ECU on Sundays? It's like is like Tulsa before 11 Central time. It's void. Yeah.
I don't think it should count as a loss. It's just me. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Plus 3 for the 500 for the week, plus 3 for the season. Chip missed, lost on the lock fight. Lost Syracuse minus 3.5. They won by 3. Michigan State cashed, LSU cashed, and the Boise BYU undercashed. So, gentlemen, are you ready to lock it up?
Yes.
Get it going. Let's lock it.
We're picking locks.
My blue plate special 5-star locks are coming.
Come get these locks.
5-star master lock. Lock it up.
You want these locks?
I'm living and dying every point, every cover.
All right, you're the week's leader, so you've got the honors. Get us started.
Okay, I'd like to just state for the record this week that I came into last week very confident. I liked the plays. I said that up front. This week I'm not so confident. I don't really love the slate this week. You know, as you mentioned, we are in mid-year at this point. I've got a little lead. I'm very tempted to just take the air out of the football,
just sit on it,
offense this thing all the way through. Maybe go three games a week, but I can't resist. So I still have more than 3 this week. It's just I couldn't. None of them I like more than the other, and I'm really on the. A lot of the public plays, which always concerns me too. So I came into this just sort of picked a bunch of games that almost out of a hat because there's none I'm that confident with. So all that said, I'll start with Auburn LSU.
Yeah. What side are you on? Is this going to be?
I'm on the Auburn side.
Okay. Me too.
Whoa. Do we have a back-to-back lock unity play?
Mine's a lock.
Yeah, mine's a lock.
Oh, well, now I'm feeling good about it. Lock unities don't miss. So I'll let you guys talk it out. But my thought process is this. Auburn is a really, really physical downhill running game. LSU is a little more finesse defensively than they have been in years past. And I also think the bigger issue here with this game is that LSU starting potentially three true freshmen on the offensive line. Bad recipe when you're playing Auburn, who is a top five defensive front seven in college football. I just don't see LSU being able to move the ball. Darius Geis still looks beat up. And ultimately, we've talked about it before. There's two tiers in the SEC. It's Auburn, Georgia, Bama, and everybody else. And everybody else is not that good. And just because LSU beat a not that good Florida team last week, it doesn't mean that they're going to suddenly show up and be ready to compete against a very good Auburn team. So I like Auburn. You know, I don't know if they blow it out, but I'm thinking 10-11 point win. Maybe it's close for the majority of the contest, but I still like the Auburn Tigers here. A lot of public on this side, which always worries me, but I'm going to roll with it. I just can't bring myself to bet against Auburn in this spot.
Go ahead.
We're a botched extra point away from LSU possibly losing that game last week in overtime and being 3-3 with a 0-2 in the SEC with a very different feel than it has coming off the win. I think that the line is just kind of giving a little too much respect to LSU, considering this is the same team that lost at home a couple weeks ago to Troy, a Troy team that got beat up pretty good by South Alabama on Wednesday night. So, yeah, it's when you think of that, and then just some trends to mention here. Auburn, it's covered three straight. It is 3-1-1 against the spread in its last five, coming off a win. And on the other side, LSU is 1-5 against the spread this season, not covering in any of its last five games. And it's 0-4-1 against the spread in its last five games at Tiger Stadium. So I feel really good about Auburn in this one. And plus, there's just that trend I mentioned here a couple weeks ago about home dogs in the SEC do not perform well.
Yeah, throw in all the shifts and motions that you want. Auburn's defensive line is going to be in the backfield within like half a second. I mean, this is I don't see LSU putting together a single 75 or 80 yard touchdown drive in this game. So I feel great. Feel very good about Auburn here.
Isn't that funny how one point win just like changes the perception of a football team? Like you mentioned, Tom, like, I mean, Florida hits that extra point, LSU loses that game, and it is absolute madness in Baton Rouge right now. And not that anybody is sort of satisfied with what's going on right now, but at least suddenly like people are feeling good. Chip, I have a question for you, because you seem like after we talked to Gary, maybe you were like second guessing things, maybe going to reassess, because Gary was actually relatively bullish on LSU showing up ready to play this week.
Yeah. I'm not gonna think any like he got me on the LSU's gonna beat Florida. He's not gonna get me on the LSU's gonna show up against Auburn. This is an Auburn team that's peaking at the right time.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so lock Unity, and we're throwing it in at -7. Is that fair?
I got 6.5. It might be up to 7 this morning.
I think it's a 7 most places right now.
Okay. This is important.
That's a very important half point.
All right, Auburn -7. All right, Tom, throw me a lock.
This is probably going to elicit some reaction here just based on things that I've said and felt in the past and just how I know Chip feels about these certain kind of situations. My lock of the week is UCLA -1 on the road against Arizona.
Wow.
Very interesting. That is another ballsy play there. I want to hear this.
Well, the line originally opened with Arizona as like a 2.5 point favorite, and it quickly got bet. People saw that and said, okay, thank you, I'll take the points with UCLA, and it got bet to where UCLA is now the 1 point favorite, so essentially you're just betting on it to win, and I think UCLA is going to win this game. It's just Arizona last week got a phenomenal performance from Khalil Tate at quarterback, who set records rushing for 327 yards, And that's pretty much needed every single one of those yards to get past a Colorado team that, to me, this year has not exactly been, you know, superior, at least nothing close to the Colorado team we saw last year. And UCLA, to me, I just feel like is the more talented team. It has the better quarterback. It's got better talent on offense. I think it's got better talent on defense than Arizona. And there's also just the fact that Jim Moore and Rich Rodriguez both started at Arizona and UCLA in the same season. And you think of all the problems that UCLA has had under Mora, and you think of some of the success Rich Rod has had at Arizona, except for the last couple of years. Mora's still 5-0 against Rich Rod at UCLA. He has not lost to him yet, and I don't think he's going to lose to him this week. So I'm on UCLA -1 at Arizona.
Wow.
I mean, that game has a chance to be just bananas.
Yeah.
Like that.
Oh,
game...
yeah, trust me. I'm terrified, but when I saw it, it's just, you know, you have to take your instincts. When I see that, I was like, oh, give me that. Even though it's UCLA, even though it's Jim Mora, even though it's, I don't know exactly, I don't think it's quite Pac-12 after dark. It's kind of Pac-12 at dusk, but still, it's just, I've seen Arizona a couple times this year, and even though UCLA has its problems, Arizona is just not a team to me where I'm sitting there thinking it's going to beat this UCLA team. It's still, to me, the bottom tier of a Pac-12 South, whereas UCLA is, you know, middle to upper.
But do you think that there's any element to this where Arizona, and specifically Rich Rodriguez, just found a whole new mojo to dial into with Khalil Tate at quarterback? Because that dude is, we talked about him briefly, I think, Chip, on our pod earlier this week. I mean, he's an 18-year-old sophomore who's as athletic, talented, as you're going to find. And, you know, when Rich Rod gets one of those guys at quarterback, it's he's pretty good. I mean, but he hadn't had one of those guys necessarily at Arizona. Brandon Dawkins doesn't really do it for me. I don't know. Maybe that was just sort of a beginner's luck last week and he has caught people off guard. But I'm very interested to see if there's a follow-up performance this week that is also impressive, and whether that sort of springboards this Arizona team.
The big plays in that game are going to be unbelievable. I mean, what do we like when you're going to look at the final box score and there's going to be six different touchdowns of 50 yards or more.
Yeah, UCLA's defense has not been the most stingy on limiting big plays.
I just need UCLA to get four of them. That's all I need.
Yeah. I'm not even saying I would pick Arizona. I just, that is just going to be...
Lock it up.
I'll enjoy rooting for you on that one.
All right. So, Tom has Auburn -7, UCLA -1. Chip, Auburn -7. And the Bees, I'm going Yellow Jackets +6. Are you on this one too, Tom?
It's not a lock, but it's just something I feel in my bones.
Yeah. Taquan Marshall, this is going to be such an incredible test of Manny Diaz's defense, because they played hard. That was an emotional win in Tallahassee, and now you're coming back home. The offense might not be able to sustain long drives with Mark Walton out, especially the first game that Mark Walton's out. Then all of a sudden, I just think that, you know, as great as that trio of sophomore linebackers is, led by Shaq Quarterman, man, they're going to have their hands full, because the guard box, the guard center guard, the interior of that Georgia Tech offensive line has been playing really, really well. And as you're starting to look around for where the potential losses are, I just think that this week, Georgia Tech catching Miami in this spot. Remember, this is a rescheduled game, so it wasn't even laid out this way. I think the Yellow Jackets at +6, I feel pretty good about, and they're my pick straight up, though, a lock at +6.
Yeah, there's no worse time for Miami to catch Georgia Tech than finally getting over the Florida State hump last week, having that kind of emotional win, and now a week later, you've got to play Georgia Tech. I just feel like this is the absolute worst possible time for Miami to have to deal with the Yellow Jackets.
People coming at your legs. You're just out there for these long drives. Oh my!
Like, you're trying. Think about it. If you're a Miami player, how good you feel after beating Florida State, and then practice this week, you have to completely learn something new You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's it's like, okay, now we have to change everything. And you're just like, no, man, I'm kind of still feeling good about last week's win. I'm not ready for this crap.
Yeah. Yeah,
Georgia Tech owes us an upset, too, after letting Tennessee slide in week one. I think this team is really good. I picked Georgia Tech to win. I don't know that I feel great about it, but I did pick it. I think this is a really good team. And if you look at what they've done so far this year, like they haven't really even been tested with the exception of that Tennessee game in which they really dominated that game. Like that should have been a Georgia Tech win if not for a couple inopportune turnovers. So I agree with all the things y'all are saying. I'd be on the Georgia Tech side, but it still scares me because I don't know that we really quite understand how good this Miami team is. I think that they, you know, there's a chance that they – were able with that win against Florida State, that just sort of gives them that much more confidence and could just sort of really accelerate them the rest of the year. So the game still scares me.
Hey,
I do like your side.
If the turnover chain comes out, Georgia Tech's going to lose because that's the one thing that Georgia Tech like can do. Like if they put the ball on the ground like they did against Tennessee, then and let Miami hang around, then the superior athletes are going to end up winning this football game. I think that the prediction is based on me thinking that Georgia Tech is good. You know, they took care of – I know that Pittsburgh and North Carolina are not good. Like, Pittsburgh and North Carolina are bottom-tier ACC coastal teams, but Georgia Tech handled both of them, like, dominated for the most part. I think it was tied 17-17 with Pitt, but then they shut them out in the second half. I don't know. Who I'm really interested to see show up? We always talk about – the Georgia Tech defense in terms of being this like bend but don't break. They're a good complement. They force turnovers. Like I feel like we offer a lot of excuses or at least like niceties for the Georgia Tech defense. And going up against Malik Rozier playing with some real confidence and a good Miami offense even without Mark Walton, I think that this will be a great moment for Georgia Tech's defense to show whether or not the Yellow Jackets are going to be able to challenge Miami and Virginia Tech in the Coastal. It's one of my favorite games of the weekend. I'm happy to jump in on it.
Yeah, it's when a schedule this week without any real marquee matchups, this was one that stood out to me. But here's a fun trend here for you. That's one of these has to end, okay?
Okay.
Georgia Tech is 8-0 against the spread in its last eight games. Miami is 8-1 against the spread in its last nine games. So these are two teams who have been kicking ass against the number for the past, you know, 2 months worth of, you know, the last 8-9 games each. So somebody's going to have to fail to cover this one.
Hey, you know what sucks is we could have seen this Georgia Tech team against UCF in that week three.
Oh,
that would have been a fun game.
And you know what UCF is saying? UCF is mad because that's a game that could have helped them with New Year's Six consideration.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
San Diego State has wins against Stanford and Arizona State. They're a leader in the clubhouse right now.
And, yeah, whereas UCF has no shot, pretty much.
As much as that Tennessee game looks like a, you know, Tennessee doesn't look like a great team this year, but that's more about offense. Like what Georgia Tech did to that Tennessee defense that has looked pretty decent this year. I mean, they hung in there with George as long as they could. Their offense just couldn't get them off the field. Obviously, they play well against Florida. I mean, Tennessee's defense is pretty competent. And Georgia Tech made them – I mean, we thought we were in for a long year for that defense after that Georgia Tech game. So there's still a lot to like about this Georgia Tech offense.
All right, Barton, back to you.
Okay. I'm going to go with the absolute weirdest line of the week. And usually I just stay away from these. But, again, because this isn't a week where I had a ton of games that like I thought were home runs, I'm going to play it. I'm going A&M. The number is what? 2.5 now?
Yeah.
Florida is a 2.5 point favorite. I'm going A&M plus the points. I did a little exercise this week on Sunday like morning. I went through and I sort of put what I thought the lines should be before they came out later that night or on Monday. And you know, most games I was around the number, 2 points off here and there, sometimes more. For this Florida A&M game, I was like 14 points off. Like I thought this should have been like an A&M, you know, favored by like 10. 10 plus. And I was shocked to see this line come out with Florida as the favorite. And I know, like this again, Gary Daniels had talked about it with us this week. Like A&M got all the way up at home against Alabama. And, you know, that was a spot that Alabama came in there and was ripe for a letdown. And it happened, and A&M covered, and it was a close game in the second half and all that. But again, I go back to this, like, everyone keeps on assuming Florida's a good team. And they're just not a good team. And A&M is not a world beater, but I think defensively they showed that they are really sound, and they're really continuing to improve under John Chavis. Kellen Mond is better every single week. Christian Kirk is going to be by far the best athlete on the field on any offense. And they've got a pretty physical run game right now. You know, I just like A&M to win this game, and they're catching points. So, you know, go money line, whatever you want. But I just can't bring myself to say Florida should be laying points to any upper tier SEC team. And I think A&M right now, to me, I think they look like probably the fourth best team in the SEC right now. Am I missing somebody? Like, don't they look like the fourth best team? Maybe Mississippi State?
Mississippi State looked like it for a while, but no, I would think it's Texas A&M at this point.
Mm.
Yeah. So I like A&M here, and if Florida wins, then hey, I'll take that loss. But I'm not gonna go into this and sort of play the contrarian role. I'm gonna go ahead and go with my gut and go A&M.
I hate this game. If picking it, I'm probably going the A&M direction too. I when I saw this line come out, I was just like, oh, I have no idea what to do here. Because I agree with you. I think that a lot of people think Florida's better than it is. But I also wonder if simply because A&M didn't get blown out by Alabama last week, if there's the same kind of effect there where people are suddenly thinking the Aggies are better than they are too.
There's potential for some overvalue there for sure.
That game was 24-3. That game was 24-3, and it's like, oh, you look at the scoreboard and you're like, oh, look, it was a one score game. But that last, like, it was some Texas A&M scores late in the game that definitely made that look a little bit prettier than it really was.
There's Alabama no got into the rat poison and just it slowly started.
Here's my other thing on A&M is I've been very anti A&M to my detriment throughout this year. Like I picked UCLA and they didn't cover. I picked Arkansas and they almost covered but didn't and lost. And so it's like my losses have a big chunk of my losses have come fading A&M. But one thing I like about this team is they continue to get better. Like I see strides in this team that I don't see in throughout the rest of the SEC. And so I'm going to go ahead and roll with them this week. Despite again, this is second play 2-for-2 here on being heavy public. But you know, I think that this is an opportunity for them to prove they're legit.
Big game. Okay. Tom.
Oh, man. For my next lock, we're heading to the Mountain West where we find Wyoming as a 3-point dog on the road against Utah State. And I'm taking Wyoming plus the 3.
Really?
Against the Aggies. That's right.
Is that an anti-Utah State play or a pro-Wyoming play?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Here's the thing about Utah State. It's 3-3, but its wins have come against Idaho State, San Jose State, and BYU. Not exactly three programs that are, you know, world beaters there. And it's not that Wyoming is crushing great teams either. It's just I feel like this line is overestimating Utah State a little bit because I really do think Wyoming is likely to win this game outright. And then just the fact that just some trends to back it up. In its last 11 Mountain West games, Wyoming's 9-2 against the spread, whereas Utah State is 1-7 against it in its last 8 conference games. So I look at those trends. I just look at Utah State being a little overvalued considering it's gotten crushed by teams with a pulse. I like the Cowboys a lot in this spot.
Oh. Yeah, I respect the hell out of you, Tom. I mean, your picks are so ballsy right now. I guess maybe I still have some like.
You just took Texas A&M.
I know. But I just have whiplash from watching Wyoming just get just absolutely torched at home against Oregon. So I haven't been able to like really watch the Wyoming game since.
Utah State is not Oregon.
I know. I just don't know what to make of either of these teams right now. But I guess, you know, one thing that I like, you got to like about Wyoming is I feel like we're confident that they're well coached. I feel like we're confident they're going to be a better team midseason than they were start of the season. And they got a good quarterback that should continue to sort of hit a stride. So, you know, as I think about it, I'm feeling it, but, I respect your picks, man.
Oh man. All right. I'm going to jump in here. Tom, I apologize. I apologize to the Under Army, but I'm going NC State Pittsburgh over 55. NC State's totals in lined games, 66, 61, 50, 55, 52. Pittsburgh's totals, 64, 51, 55, 66, 63. Both teams, all games but one, have gone over 55. I feel really weird about the line here. I took Pittsburgh in our expert picks. I think NC State's secondary is the one group that could maybe give up a big play here or there. And if you're going to take NC State to sleepwalk, I think they're good enough that they would end up winning. And so at 55, give me like a, you know, like a 35 to 21 or a 42 to 28 kind of win.
If you have any faith in Pittsburgh, this is a spot where like NC State could slip up and, you know, let them backdoor cover. You know, this is that type of game NC State messes around and loses. So there's some wacky potential in this game, I think, just based on like the spot in the schedule for NC State as for a sort of letdown opportunity. So, yeah, I mean, I could see this.
Yeah, going over 55 is definitely betting on wacky.
Yeah. It's just NC State's been such a strong under team. I'm more confident in Pitt plus the points than I am in that over. But I mean, it's just it's another one of those battle of trends because NC State, the under is 8-0 in NC State's last 8 ACC games. Whereas Pitt, the over is 7-1-1 in its last 9 home games. So it's another one of these streaks have to end. I don't know here. I think
Pitt's defense makes this over feel better.
Yeah, that's the one thing that has me leaning towards the over because Ryan Finley played really well last week, and maybe this NC State offense is really starting to find a groove. It's just I don't know. I think they're starting DiNucci this week. What's his kid's name?
Yeah, Ben DiNucci.
Yeah, they're starting DiNucci this week.
Which may not be all bad.
No, I think that's actually better. Yeah. I think that's actually better for Pitt's offense. It's just I don't know what Pitt's really going to do against this defense. And maybe there's the letdown at play where things get crazy. And I think that's like what you said. That's kind of what you're banking on. It's just I'm honestly more confident in Pitt plus the points than I am the over here.
All right, Barton, lock me up.
All right, play number three. I am also going ACC, and I'm going to go with, I don't know what the number is right now, 21.5, 22. I'm going to go Boston College plus the points against Louisville. You know, I've been kind of anti-Louisville all year, and it's worked out for me. You know, I like them against NC State, you know, won that one last week. You know, I think that Boston College, they're on like a 3-game win streak against the spreads. You know, Louisville is 1-5 this year against the spread. I think Boston College defensively has the defensive line that, look, Lamar Jackson. He's going to make his plays. We talk about that all the time. But when you've got a guy like a Harold Landry that can make him pay for some of his scrambles, can make him pay for some of his improvisations, I think that that gives you a big chance defensively against him. And so I think Boston College's defense is going to step up to the challenge. I think that their offense against this Louisville defense that hasn't been all that impressive throughout the year is going to get enough done and control the ball enough. I just think you're going to give me 3 touchdowns. I don't think that's this. I don't think that is this Louisville team this year, and I'm not quite sure why Vegas hasn't figured that out yet. So I'm going to go with Boston College plus 3 touchdowns and a hook. So that was probably my favorite pick among these of the week, and I've been ready to play Boston College all year. Finally doing it. I'm excited to settle in.
Ready? Let's go. You're ready to get it a solo. You want 60 minutes of BC football in your face.
That's right. That's right.
Boy, as someone who sweated out some BC Northern Illinois games earlier this year, I can tell you it's a magical thing to take it all in.
I was jealous of that experience you felt.
BC plus 21.5. We're throwing it on the locks. Tom, do you have a fourth?
I have a fourth, and very much out of character, I have a fifth as well.
I love this. We got to start throwing them down.
Yeah. I got ground to make up here. Barton's crushing us. I'll start with number 4. UConn at Temple under 61.5. It's just that's a very high total for UConn and Temple, in my opinion.
It is a very high total. But you know what, man? Can we talk about this game? I couldn't put it on the locks, but I've been sweating this one because UConn 0-4 straight up and 0-4 against the spread, but UConn has hit the over in all 4 games. Temple 1-4 in favor of the under, and of course just a horrendous offense. I don't know.
Didn't Temple score a bunch of points last week on somebody?
ECU 34.
ECU. That doesn't count.
Week? Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't count. I don't see this getting to 61.5. It's just another situation where I look at it and Temple's offense is awful. And while its defense hasn't really been the same kind of Temple defense that we grew accustomed to under Matt Rhule, I still don't fully buy into UConn's offense being super explosive because, one of UConn's best games on offense, like Temple, came against ECU. And I don't see this one getting to 61.5. I see kind of a sloppy, turnover-ish, nobody really wants to watch this game going on. And I see, it's going to get to 50-something probably. Like, I smell like 31-20 final. But right. I just think that 61.5 is about 10 to 7 points too many.
So this is a bet that Temple's offense is more bad than Connecticut's defense. Because Connecticut's giving up 38, 41, 49, and 70 in their 4 FBS games. And Temple scored in their 4 FBS games 16, 21, 7, 13. And then, I don't know, is East Carolina even count as FBS these days?
Hey, now.
So it's, yeah, this is something's got to give week again. And I still have nightmares of watching USF in the hospital after having that baby Temple UCF game just terrifying me with that Temple offense. So yeah, hey, anything under with Temple involved, I can live with.
Temple's an under god, pretty much. Sometimes you just got to go with what you know.
Temple minus 9.5. Is Temple going to win a game by? Is Temple going to win this by 10?
I don't know.
We got some anti-public line movement on this one.
Mm-hmm.
12.5 to 9.5 with 65% on Temple.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel much more confident in the under than I would ever feel taking Temple minus 9.5 against anybody this year.
I've been window shopping this game for 3 days. I'm not going to pull the trigger on it. I can't do it. Yeah, because that's right, guys. That's the game I've been window shopping and staring at and breaking down is UConn Temple.
You're sick.
That kind of weak.
You're twisted. By the way, how many points, speaking of ECU, how many points is UCF going to put up on ECU this weekend?
Oh, God. 50. As many as it wants.
Yeah, 51, and they'll pretty much get to choose it.
Shoot. In that game last week, they scored. They had a ball, 7 offensive possessions, scored 6 touchdowns and 1 field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, that team is rolling.
Are you jumping? Are you going to lock them up? Are you doing the night, just staying on the UCF train?
I don't know. I thought about it. I mean, I kind of want to just keep on rolling UCF and just, you know, take my chances. But I don't know, 34.5 against ECU.
So much.
It's just, I mean, you know, they're not playing Bethune-Cookman, but they kind of are. So I don't know. No, not right now. But by the end of the show, you know, if I start to gain confidence, if I'm looking, you know, don't be surprised if I go ahead and throw another log on the fire. So let's hold off till the end of the show.
Something to keep in mind, too. It's like if UCF is up huge in that game late, they've got to go on the road for Navy next week. So it wouldn't surprise me if Scott Frost took a couple key guys out of that game in the third quarter or so. So that even makes that 34.5, 35, whatever it's at now, spread even harder to cover.
I'd actually love it if ECU, if I don't play it, if ECU covers this week, and then that can sort of deflate the value a little bit on UCF, and then they can go back to playing UCF the rest of the way. Because I still think that they're going to cover just about every game this year.
All right, so what's lock number 4, Barton?
Lock number 4, I'm staying ACC once again, and I'm going to go Florida State.
Duke.
Yeah, they're laying 7 at Duke, noon Eastern. I just think, like, so this week on Twitter, somebody hit me up and saying, like, I can't remember what I was talking about. I said something about Florida and someone said, hey, if Florida can't beat Florida State at the end of the year, then God help us or something, you know, made some comment like that. Almost like this is the year where everyone should beat Florida State just because Florida State is now 1-3. But that's such like a misleading 1-3. And just because they lost to a really good Miami team, a really good North Carolina State team, and an Alabama team with a true freshman quarterback throughout that, like, suddenly people are acting like Florida State is not a really good team. Like, they're still probably one of the best 25 teams in college football. And I know that there is a element to this where what do they have left to play for? They wanted national titles. Now they don't really even have a shot at an ACC title. But I still think that this defense is so talented. And we saw what Miami did against Duke in the second half. I still think this offense is going to continue to progress dramatically, considering they have a true freshman quarterback, considering they have a true freshman running back that may be the most talented back in the country, one of them, who just has to continue to get reps and get comfortable. I just think one touchdown, hey, I'll take that. Yeah, we'll be comfortable there. I think this is a game. Hey, maybe it's close for a half, but I think Florida State wins this by 2 scores and comfortably takes a win. Because look, they need a get right game, and eventually that's going to pop. You think Florida State's just going to piddle around all year with the talent they've got and just sort of just survive? No, they've got it. They've got a big performance in them, and I think this is the week it hit. So I'll take Florida State -7.
Are there reverse line movement on this?
There's no. It opened 6.5, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's up to 7 at this point. So, you know, it's kind of staying steady.
That game. You see what the over-under is, right? Like 40, 41, 42.
Oh, wow, that is a low number. Yeah. I'd take the over on that, I think, right?
Oh, no. I don't know if Duke's going to score more than like 10 points in this game. And Duke's defensive line is pretty good.
They're pretty good. But let's not overstate what Duke is, though.
I'm saying 21-10 is a likely outcome in my head.
It's at 44, by the way. Yeah, this is a. These are two teams I just don't trust. Period. I trusted Duke a little too much earlier this year. Got burned. I've trusted Florida State clearly way too much this year, and I've just been burned. And I see it. I agree with a lot of things that Barton says that backs up his pick here, because I do feel like at some point Florida State's going to start being Florida State again. And I thought that to a large degree they were looking, you know, kind of Florida State-ish last week against Miami. They just lost on a play at the last second. So I could easily see Florida State covering this one by two scores, probably more. It's just I don't trust either one of these teams.
I mean, Duke lost to Virginia. And what does that say about Duke or Virginia?
But Virginia might actually be good.
Yeah, Virginia's decent, actually.
Virginia's a 3-point favorite at UNC this weekend.
I know. Can we talk about that? Virginia is a road favorite in a conference game this week.
Yep.
That is the schedule that we're dealing with here, people.
I mean, if you go boat race Boise State on the Smurf turf, you get all kinds of good new road vibes.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know, man. I'm fascinated to see how Virginia plays this week, because another win and all of a sudden, like, you got to start looking at Virginia as a threat, not to win the Coastal, but certainly to handle loss to a Virginia Tech or a Miami or Georgia Tech, one of these teams that's trying to get out there and win the Coastal. Yeah, I ain't touching that game.
I don't think it's a coincidence that Brock Gomendahl's new team is 4-1 while his old team is 1-5.
Oh, yeah, you pointed that out. That was a good call. All right, to review, Barton, Auburn -7, A&M +2.5, BC +21.5, FSU -7. Tom, Auburn -7, UCLA -1. What did we lock in Wyoming at?
+3.
+3. And UConn Temple -61.5. Chip, Auburn -7. NC State Pitt /55. Georgia Tech +6.5. And Texas Oklahoma -65. Big game. Too many points. Texas's defense playing well. This is a principal play. I don't feel fantastic about it, but we got to throw some principal plays out here to try and catch up.
Yeah, I took Texas in the points. This was the featured game in pick six. I'm taking the Longhorns just because this game has been so close. But I don't have a great read on this one, especially because, I mean, I have no idea what Oklahoma is anymore. It looked so good to start the season. And then obviously last week it lost to Iowa State, which is no bueno. But even the week before against Baylor, it couldn't stop Baylor from scoring points either. So it's just, this team is completely done a 180 just halfway through the season already. And I have no idea what to expect.
What's your red river? What are your red river thoughts, Barton?
I actually kind of feel like I'm almost tempted to take Texas and the points. I don't know whether I'm getting fooled or whether I'm just sort of caught up in the momentum right now, but Texas just feels like they've got a better energy about them right now. I really like what Sam Ellinger brings at the quarterback position. I think that changes Texas. I think Oklahoma, you know, I wrote about this in my cover three this week. You know, Jordan Thomas for Oklahoma has been getting absolutely torched by big receivers. Denzel Mims put up like 192 yards and 3 touchdowns against him. Alan Lazard put in work, including the game-winning touchdown against him. This week, he's got to handle a 6'6", 225-pound Colin Johnson, who's as big a bodied outside receiver as there is in college football. And Texas just, you know, Tom Herman in these spots is as good as any coach in the country traditionally. And I just feel like Oklahoma is starting to they're starting to flounder a little bit. I mean, that's two straight games they haven't looked great. So I don't know whether like I'm overreacting to Oklahoma, but I picked Texas to cover, Oklahoma to win, and I'm almost tempted to pick Texas to win. I'm not making this a lock play, though. I would be tempted to. I mean, I sort of consider it. So I don't know about the total, because Baker Mayfield, you know, I never really trust him on an underplay. But I guess if I had to pick a side, I think I would probably play the under, just because of how well Texas has been playing defensively. But this is an interesting game. I'll be really excited to watch it. I think this is going to be a good game. I think this is going to be a good rivalry matchup.
What about the, like, sometimes there have been time, and, you know, we've had changes at both head coaches, but there was a streak where the outcome of Red River was not necessarily indicative of the way the season was going to play out for both teams. Like, the game almost existed a little bit in a vacuum. You know, think about Charlie Strong with his big old finger wearing the golden hat. Like, do you think that you will look at this game in a vacuum, or do you think that this game is a springboard, or at least indicative of which direction both of these teams are going for the rest of the year?
I don't think that the Big 12 is like a very linear conference in terms of their trajectories. Like, I could see so many outcomes in this. I could see Oklahoma blowing Texas out and then losing two more in conference. Like, I could see Texas winning this game and then, you know, losing by 35 to Oklahoma State. Like, the Big 12 is just such a wide open conference this year that I don't know that you can really necessarily take one game and extrapolate it out. You know, like, it's just, I think it's just like a bunch of, like, you know, data points, like, scattered all over, like, the board. I think it's just, there's no predictive nature of this conference this year. It's hard for me to get my arms around it.
All right, well, get your arms around another lock. What you got?
All right, my version of 4-minute offense is 5 locks at least. So I'm going lock number 5 in the Big 12, the unpredictable conference I just talked about. Look, it's time. West Virginia has won me, I think, two different – actually, no, I think I lost West Virginia in that Virginia Tech game. But it was I think maybe the line was like 7. I think they pushed maybe. Anyway, Virginia's done has looked good when I've wanted them to. They looked good last week against TCU. They covered for me there. This week, despite some anti-public line movement that has me a little bit concerned, this line's moved from 6 to 3.5 with almost 70% on West Virginia. I'm going to continue to ride them. Like, I'm going to continue to trust my eyes. West Virginia is a good football team. Will Grier is among the best in college football at the quarterback position. David Sills, Caron White, a lot of weapons out there. This is going to be a high-scoring game. I don't know if it's going to hit like the 78 number or whatever that it opened at, but I expect a lot of points. And, you know, I don't know. Like, I was a little bit nervous about making this play because I don't know that I've necessarily watched enough of Texas Tech to feel confident that they're not actually a really good football team. Because I think that they might be. But I just like that this number's gotten down to almost a field goal. I think West Virginia, just, again, eyeball test. What I've seen is a really good football team. And a really good football team is going to win one of these close matchups. And they're 0-2 in those close matchups with Virginia Tech and TCU. I think they get off the schneid this week in Morgantown, noon Eastern. Wake-up call for Texas Tech. I think West Virginia wins, and wins by at least a touchdown.
Isn't there an argument for David Sills as an All-American candidate at wide receiver?
Dude's been balling out.
I mean, like, it's almost tough because of the long and storied and insane personal history, but, like, when we're trying to look around next week for midseason All-Americans, it's going to be tough to come up with 4 wide receivers before I get to David Sills.
9 for 94 and 2 touchdowns against Vitek. 7 for 153, 3 touchdowns against ECU. 8 for 130, 2 touchdowns against Kansas. 7 for 160, 2 touchdowns against TCU. That's a pretty decent. Stout.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was. I was debating it with shout out Matthew Coca. I was debating it with Coca last weekend, and I was like, I would not have thought that. Like, as we were filling out our preseason All Americans, like as I was all over, dropping some Cortland Sutton dimes and knowledge, and there's still a lot of good wide receiver play, but I did not see David Sills V Esquire performing at this level, like having this level of production to the point where you got to take him seriously as one of the best wide receivers in the country.
Good for the kid, man. I'm happy for him. You know, he's gotten a lot of heat through the years for being like a seventh grade USC commit at the quarterback position, but didn't go quite the way he planned, but he's making something out of it.
Wasn't there like he was at West Virginia, then went JUCO, then came back to West Virginia?
Yeah, he left to go chase that quarterback dream, and nobody bit. Hey, embrace it, brother. You're a receiver.
Yeah. Tom, lock number 5.
We're staying in the Big 12 for this lock, heading to the Plains.
We are taking the most unpredictable conference and dropping locks all over the place.
Oh, we are, but there's a very predictable trend at play here, Chip.
Okay.
There's a certain team that is a home underdog to a top 10 team this week. Kansas State catching 6 points at home against TCU for an 11 a.m. local time start. We have seen this play many times, different actors playing the roles, but you do not want to go into Manhattan, particularly early in the day, as a road favorite, and a road favorite with a lot on the line to face Bill Snyder and Kansas State. It seldom works in your favor. I don't know if Kansas State is going to win outright, but I feel really good about the Wildcats catching 6 points here.
It's a principle play. For sure.
Yeah. And sometimes you got to rely on your principles.
I know. But
also, I would also recommend maybe if you're listening to this, you know, on Thursday or Friday, hold off a little bit because most of the money to this point is coming in on TCU so that you might catch an extra hook there before kickoff on Saturday.
What about do we know Jesse Ertz's status? That's another thing to track.
No, but I'm not even that concerned. You know what? Honestly, if Ertz doesn't play, I'm more convinced Kansas State will cover.
Yeah, that's one. I picked Kansas State in our expert picks to cover. Didn't pick them to win, but that's one of those that, like, this absolutely feels like the spot where TCU gets tripped up and loses this game. I don't have the stones to pull the trigger on it, but like this 100% feels like that opportunity here. So I really like the pick on this one.
Dude, TCU still has like 3 games left that it could still lose. TCU is a team that we've had to consider as a potential playoff team, but this is a spot where they could lose. They got to go to Norman to play Oklahoma. I don't know.
I go to Lubbock and play Texas Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to play Texas at Iowa State. I mean, this is just the Big 12 this year, man. Like I'm telling you, this is a tough conference to get out of alive. And they may not have like it's a much tougher road in the Big 12 this year, for example, than the SEC.
Agreed.
And, yeah.
You know, just in terms of like week in, week out, you gotta have your game face on. Like this is one of those spots where, look, TCU better not show up there just expecting to win this thing because Kansas State's, I don't care what their record is. I don't care if they were 1-4 right now. Like this is always a tough spot, but they're a good team this year.
I'm gonna take things out of the Pac-12 for lock number 5. You give me 17 and a hook, I'm going to take that bait. I love the way Washington is playing football right now, but going on the road, Pac-12 after dark, I think Sparky's going to be able to at least make this interesting. Washington's coming off one of its most complete performances, just absolutely demolishing Cal last week. I think Washington continues to win probably until the Stanford game, maybe that's the first spot where there could be a loss. But 17.5, I like my value here, taking Arizona State to try and either kick down the back door, keep it close. I don't know. I just maybe not Washington's best performance late Saturday night out against the Sun Devils.
Like that play a lot.
Yeah, and you're fading the hell out of the public there, because this is a very public's very heavy on Washington. So I like the inclination there just based on that.
Yeah, and Arizona State is not a bad football team this year. Washington has really, they have played truly the worst teams on their schedule, and every week now it gets tougher, and it starts this week. I think Arizona State's better than everybody they played. And I think Arizona State, I don't know that this game's ever going to be in doubt, but I think that's a great instinct that that's a ton of value there. Ton of opportunity. If you're going to give me 17.5 points with a solid Arizona State team.
Yeah. Solid Arizona State team. Washington can probably get out with the win at playing at like 75%. And I don't think that they would necessarily, but if there's a spot on their schedule where they might not be clicking on all cylinders, late night game against Arizona State sure seems like it.
Yeah, and I think like the under is a smarter play there too, which obviously helps out the plus 17.5 leaning.
All right, so are we all? We're all on the board for 5. Is anyone going for 6? No,
No, I don't think so. I don't think Barton, I can get there.
Barton's got a list of 5 other games he'll consider. He's sitting there looking at it. Which one of these do I want to make my 6?
I'm so tempted to just play ball with UCF and just roll the dice and just let those guys run all over the field for me. But no, I'm going to hold off. I do want to talk about a couple of the games that I thought were interesting. One, like, what was y'all's take when you saw Tennessee favored against South Carolina?
It's not the dead cat bounce, but it might as well be, since Butch Jones is essentially done. Like, this has got to be their best performance, right?
I mean,
I don't think South Carolina is good enough to be truly threatening to anybody in the SEC.
Well, what? The SEC, who in the SEC is good enough to South Carolina's good enough to threaten everyone in the SEC, right? Except for the top 3. You think South Carolina's like a really bad team?
I don't think South Carolina's a really bad team. I just don't think that I don't think South Carolina coming to town is any different than Ole Miss or Mississippi State coming to town.
What concerns me is that Tennessee's starting a new quarterback this week. And that has me leaning towards South Carolina quite a bit. I mean, I don't think South Carolina is a great team. And, obviously a couple weeks ago, the loss of Debo Samuel, it hurts. But it's just, when I watch Tennessee play, I see a team that is kind of not checked out, but not all that far from it either.
All right, so why is Tennessee favored then? Because
it's at home, and it's in South Carolina. But I honestly think South Carolina wins this game. It's an 11 a.m. Is it Eastern or Central in Knoxville?
It's Knoxville's Eastern.
Okay, so it's a noon start. Kind of just, I think that I think the team's
new
very
quarterback.
Close. Yeah. I think the team, I think this is a team that's like looking for an excuse to not care anymore, just to be honest.
I mean, let's break down everything going on at Tennessee right now. They've got a new quarterback who's making his first start. They've got a backup quarterback now that had been the starter that is being
probably
reported
out.
As pondering transfer.
Yeah.
They've got one of their best defensive linemen, arguably their best defensive lineman, in Durrell Taylor, who is suspended for punching their or kicking their best offensive lineman in Trey Smith.
He fell on a helmet.
Allegedly.
No, that's a different situation. Shy Tuttle fell on a helmet, allegedly, when that's been reported as Nigel Warrior punched him.
He fell on a cleat.
There's how many, insane, culture problem indicators do we have here at Tennessee, and yet they're still going to go into this game favored. I didn't pick one of my locks because it's just too weird. I don't know what's going to happen, but I just thought that was I would have said South Carolina is about a 3-point favorite rather than Tennessee about a 3-point favorite. I think South Carolina's got the better quarterback. They've got the more stable environment within the locker room. And
well, that's easy. That's Eastern Michigan. Every 117 FBS teams have a more stable environment in the locker room than Tennessee.
That's true. So I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen there.
I think South Carolina's a savvy money line play this week if you're going to do anything on this game.
Man. Tennessee. This is brutal. It's painful. I didn't pick it as a lock. I'm glad we didn't have to. Hey, here's a question. Do you think that Boise State is the last tough test for between San Diego State and an undefeated regular season?
Yeah. I mean, after San Diego State gets Boise this week, and you look at the rest of its schedule. It's Fresno, at Hawaii, which is always tricky going on that road trip, at San Jose State, and then Nevada. And you finish up with New Mexico, which could be kind of tricky for them at the end of the year. But honestly, I think for San Diego State, if they get by this one, the next real test is against probably Colorado State in the conference title game. But I do think Boise's going to cover because I as impressive as San Diego State has been, I think there's a little bit too much doubt in this Boise team. It's not the same kind of Boise team we're used to seeing. It's probably not going to win its division this year, but I don't think it should be more than a touchdown underdog in this game.
Yeah, I picked UNLV last week on our expert picks, and now I'm gun shy to pick against San Diego State again. So I'm playing San Diego State this week. But yeah, that's a
good game.
It's a good game.
Oh, yeah. I think for the late night, at the end of the day, that's going to be a very fun game to watch on CBS Sports Network.
On CBS Sports Network, of course. What about Michigan State? Following up the win against Michigan, going on the road to play Minnesota, 4.5-point road favorites.
That was another one I was going to bring
up.
Crazy line.
Don't like this line at all.
I mean, last we saw Minnesota, it was losing at home to Max Bortenschlager. But I mean, Michigan State won that game last week, obviously, and it worked out well for the three of us as we were in lock unity. And it works out really well for Michigan State. But when you were watching that game, did Michigan State really do anything in that game to make you say, oh, okay, this is a really good team?
Started good faster. Yeah, played good defense.
Yeah.
Good assignments.
But that offense couldn't do a damn thing.
No.
And if not for, some John O'Korn sloppiness and a monsoon, I think Michigan State still would have covered, but I think Michigan would have won that game. And I have a really hard time trusting Michigan State as a 4.5-point favorite on the road.
This line is at 40.
Total. 40.
Wow.
That's a number right there.
Wow.
This is one of those where I know the sharp, correct play is probably Minnesota, but I can't bring myself to actually playing it. Myself to actually pulling the trigger on Minnesota.
I don't know that I would say it's a smart move, but I would just want to take that under for fun.
Yeah, feel the burn, just to grind it.
Because that is a 60-minute sweat right there. When you take it under 40, you are sweating from the opening kickoff because any one play, you're done.
That's living, man. That's out there feeling alive for 60 minutes.
It's like free base jumping or whatever it is.
You've got Michigan State, first and 10 from its own 5-yard line. They've just gotten backed up by a punt, and there's the Brian Lewerke throw to a tight end, linebacker jumps it, looks like it's going to be an easy pick six. and then he drops it. Yes!
Oh, that's what you live for.
Oh man. What other lines jumped out, seemed odd, you wanna talk about?
I don't know about odd. The one other game that I almost put for my locks was Utah,
USC
catching 12.5, I think, against USC. I would have played Utah had where Tyler Huntley slated to play, but I saw somewhere today I think he's doubtful now for Saturday. I just can't trust Troy Williams. Just a little bit too sloppy with the football, make some weird decisions. I really think Utah is still good enough to keep this a close game. I think USC is still very much the walking wounded, and they're still very much in like survival mode. If they can slowly start to get healthy, get back on a run, I think they could be a really good team by the end of the year. But right now, I think we're in the valley for USC still, and they're still just hanging on for dear life. I just think they're fortunate this week that they're catching Utah without their starting quarterback.
Yeah, I'm on Utah. I don't feel great about it though.
Yeah,
that's a game where I could see it being really, really close, and then Troy Williams' turnover in the third or fourth quarter just kind of breaks it open.
Yeah, but Sam Darnold turnovers could do the same thing.
True.
A line that stood out to me is a little weird and hinky. I didn't want to make it a lock, though. Nebraska catching 24 at home against Ohio State. I think this is, I understand the doubt in Nebraska, but I think we're greatly overestimating Ohio State's offense again, based simply on the fact that the last 3 weeks, Ohio State's been playing cupcakes and beating the hell out of them.
Really there.
And I think that to ask them to go cover 24 on the road against a Nebraska team that hasn't been good, but it's not like this is a awful football team. There's still players and a defense that's not
they're
awful
still,
either. So.
There's still players. There's yeah. still college
no, I mean,
football
no,
players.
This is still a mid-tier Big Ten team. This is not a bottom-feeding Big Ten program. So to expect Ohio State to go on and cover 24 points on the road when I don't think Ohio State's offensive problems that we've seen against better teams have simply gone away. They've just played bad teams. So I have a hard time taking the Buckeyes to cover there. It's not a lock, but I do feel pretty good about Nebraska in that spot.
Did Tanner Lee have another pick six against Wisconsin?
No, not that I recall.
Okay. He had one pick. I know. But he had what? He had two pick sixes against Northern Illinois. Was one of his four interceptions as pick six against Oregon?
Yes.
It was. So they lost by 7 against Oregon. I guess what I'm getting at is, to your point, if Tanner Lee not only just stops throwing interceptions, but just stops throwing interceptions for touchdowns, they might be, what, 5-1 right now?
Yeah. Like,
there's, I mean, that's possible.
I mean, yeah, it's a team that's a few horrible, horrible pick sixes away from being good.
Tom, is the Jeff Brohm train going into Camp Randall and coming out with the cover?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I can't pull that sugar. I just think that the gap there. I think Purdue, when it comes to anybody that is not Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, or Wisconsin, I think Purdue's going to cover. But against those four teams, I can't ride with Purdue. I think the gap is still a little too significant there.
Mm. Friday night, Clemson at Syracuse. I could not keep the Cuse train running, but I think I've got it as an expert pick.
Yeah, I'm on Syracuse too. That's just
Clemson's trying to get out of there healthy.
Yeah, a Friday night game on the road in that dome after a couple. You know, this is a Clemson team that's played a lot of big games already. So this is going to be what I just feel like this is one of those instances where, like you said, we're just going to get our win and go home.
Getting all up in that dome. All right. Anything else? Indiana? Anyone calling Indiana?
Oh. No.
That's another one, man.
I had to write that for our game picks, our posts, Chip, and it's just I tried to look for reason to take Indiana, but I don't see it.
Yeah,
Vandy will miss. I think Vandy could win that one, but that's a tough one to call too.
Like that's a tough one to watch.
It will be a tough one to watch.
What ends up happening in that game when it's like, is that going to end up being like Shurmur's best game?
Shurmur is the one constant at Vanderbilt. He's played well every week. It just doesn't always have guys that are willing to catch the football for him and guys that are willing to protect him. If Shurmur just, you know, he should.
Ole Miss's defense is very friendly to quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, offensive line.
They are. They're a friendly group.
They are.
They're a bunch of nice guys. I think Vandy wins that game, but not enough to make it a lock. But I think that's a good spot for them. And then one big anti-public line move that I thought was interesting: Tulane, even after that stomping against Tulsa, they're only 13% of the public on them right now against Florida International. 11-point line moved up to 13.5. I thought that was a weird. Everything about that's weird. Why aren't more people on Tulane, and why is the line moving anti? So I don't know. That's one to watch.
I wanted to pull the trigger on Tulane too, but I didn't get to catch all the breakfast ball in person. I was just watching the score tracker with my mouth agape.
Aaron, this is not a pick in any way, but here's a line. We're talking about the strange lines of the week. Iowa State is a 22-point favorite this week.
Kansas. At home, Rock
yeah,
chalk.
At home against Kansas. But that's just like, wow. What a time to be alive.
Yeah. And that's still right. I still think Kansas is ripe to like cause somebody some headaches this year, right?
Yeah, I'm just the more I think about it, the more I'm really like, you want to give me 3 touchdowns against Iowa State?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to take? Yeah, but on the flip side, do you want to take Kansas
against Iowa State plus 22? With Iowa State coming off of that win last week for an early start game.
Yeah.
And I want to see what Kansas is on the money line.
Ooh. While Tom places some calls and starts to check it out on the field, we got to lock them up. 5 picks each. Barton at plus 10.
Recap.
All right. Barton, plus 10 on the season. Auburn, minus 7. A&M, plus 2.5. BC, plus 21.5. Florida State, minus 7. West Virginia, minus 3.5. Tom, plus 3 on the season, has Auburn, minus 7. UCLA minus 1, Wyoming plus 3, UConn Temple under 61.5, Kansas State plus 6. Chip minus 1 on the season, Auburn minus 7, Arizona State plus 17.5, NC State Pitt over 55, Georgia Tech plus 6.5, Texas Oklahoma under 65.
And we have one lock unity alert with Auburn minus 7.
Yeah.
Right?
And the lock unities are undefeated.
Unity's 1-0.
That's right. Make sure that you do subscribe, review, rate, tell your friends, send suggestions. We're all on Twitter. He's at Barton Simmons. He's at Tom Vernelli. I'm at Chip_Patterson. Please let us know what you think. The Syndicate is always out here trying to make you money. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time and your picks.
My Blue Plate special 5-star locks are coming.
Come get these locks.
5-star master lock. Lock it up.
You want these locks?
I'm living and dying every point, every cover.